There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Of VSiN Tonight, we are back from downtown Las Vegas, Circus Sportsbook Studios, presented by DraftKings in a big hour, Wes, because we'll talk more NBA in-season tournament. Lines about to be set for what will be Chicago on the road against Miami for that final playoff spot in the East. We'll talk about that here a little bit later, give our NBA full playoff predictions. Dan Miller has a very, this is a very against the grain, our producer Dan Miller, against the grain team to come out of the East we'll have to talk about. Also get
cue,
our breakdown.
Cue the bad religion, against the grain.
Yes, to say the least. We'll get our RBC Heritage preview in on the golf side, talk a little NFL draft. Lot to get to. And right now, though, we talk all things the sports betting universe, especially with how the betting has gone on the NBA play-in tournament so far with our pal Matt Grill, who joins us right now, DraftKings trading manager on the Progressive guest line as we kick off another hour of VSiN Tonight. Matt, great to have you back on with us here on VSiN Tonight. You know, how good was it for the books with all that money coming in on Golden State last night in the Western Conference play-in tournament, and then here on Wednesday with a lot of public sentiment backing the Philadelphia 76ers who don't cover? How did that turn out for you guys?
Yeah, definitely, guys. Golden State, of course, you know, it looks like their dynasty might be coming to a close here. Klay Thompson might have been his last game. Warriors just didn't have it this year. You know, go down pretty easily last night. Really good result for the book. One of our better results this year in the NBA. Of course, Lakers, not so much. People, no surprise there. Everyone wants to get a bet on LeBron in the playoffs and started with it last night. So kind of split last night. Then, of course, today we had the crazy ending with the Philly game. They end up coming through. Going to get into the playoffs as the 7th seed. And then the Bulls take care of business pretty handily against the Hawks. And going to finish up the play-in tournament here in another couple days.
Matt, based on that result from tonight, Philadelphia doesn't get the cover, does get the comeback win. Any change maybe in like the Eastern Conference odds? I have a little bit on them at 8-1. But any kind of adjustment? Because, look, Embiid at times, you know, was – kind of hunched over, a little bit gimpy at times. Still had 23-15 tonight. But any adjustment upwards or downwards, or just kind of stayed the same off that performance tonight?
Yeah, just a small nudge, guys. Kind of how we joke about Hideki. If he was ever healthy, it'd be weird. Yeah. You know, Joel Embiid, same thing. You know, so you can make the same joke. You know, if this guy's healthy, it's almost like, huh? It's a little bit strange. But yeah, Philly, you know, they're dangerous in the East here. You know, obviously it's different now, guys. It used to be that these teams that were like the 5 or 8 seed that made the playoffs, they just had no shot. We've only had one winner ever, I believe, that's not a 1-4 seed in the playoffs. So, but it's a little bit different now. These teams are really bunched in both conferences. You had, there's not a lot of wins that were separating the teams from like a 3 seed or the 4 seed down all the way to the 8 seed or so. So So a lot of these teams are pretty similar now. So they went, like you said, Wes, 8-1 on Philly. You know, they're going to have a shot, which wouldn't be the case in years past. So should be a pretty interesting and even playing field in the playoffs here. You know, that's if anyone can get past Boston eventually, though.
No question. And to that point, Matt, of the seven playoff series that are up right now, where we don't have the final one determined, obviously, since we'll have to wait for the Miami and Chicago game later on in the play-in tournament to decide who plays Boston. But of the seven series up there, at least at DraftKings, five of them have the favorite minus 130 or less. Just shows how tight this first round is projected to be here. What's seen the most movement on your guys' end outside of the Milwaukee move with the Giannis injury news that dropped them from big over $2 favorites down to basically a pick 'em? Outside of that series, what's seen the most action on your side so far?
Yeah, good question. And, you know, there's like, it's going to be a good first round here. And it just, that doesn't seem to normally be the case. So good to see it here. But the one that's kind of been inching their way has been the Suns over the T-Wolves. So a lot of people think the T-Wolves are pretenders. The Suns can maybe hit another gear here in the playoffs. So that's when we're seeing the Suns about a minus 130, 135 or so, maybe 140. Don't have the number right in front of me, but they're favored in their series against the T-Wolves without home court advantage.
Matt, before we get to the RBC Heritage this week, let's do a quick postmortem on the Masters. Good on you. You got a very good early number on Scottie Scheffler, so you cash a ticket.
Nice.
But I think that was a good outcome for you guys, right? The fact that the chalk held at Augusta National last week.
Yeah, very happy the last couple of weeks, Wes, kind of getting a couple wins on the board finally this year with Akshay 2 weeks ago, and then, of course, Scottie with the big one down at the Masters. Really not too much of a sweat once he got to the back nine. It was a four-way tie, and, you know, Scottie just, he didn't have his irons there for about 2.5 days and finally turned it on. I think he gained 2.7 strokes on the field just on the back nine, you know, almost hold the one on nine, almost hold the one on 14, and really just ran away with it, like we talked about was possible with this guy. So him winning with his B-minus, C-plus game by four shots is just, of course, like we mentioned, you know, in studio last week, very scary. The prospects of him going forward here. So just going to continue to see these short prices on him until he proves he can't win. He has gone first, second, first, the last four starts. So very scary player to go up against here in the coming months and in probably years. But yeah, Scottie was a really good result for us guys. The handle was outstanding. Just the betting on the Masters was our biggest handle on golf for any tournament ever. You know, people were just betting the top 20s, top 30s, top 10s. Live, just it was really great to see, and a good result for us eventually, like you mentioned, with Scottie winning.
On our Progressive guest line, it's Matt Grill, trading manager from DraftKings, joining us right now. It's almost like you kind of start asking yourself, you know, Scheffler is priced about as low as you possibly can now, week to week. It's, you know, up there with what Tiger Woods was priced back in his heyday when you talk about 4-1, 4.5-1. Like, when you're pricing things as a bookmaker, like, at what point do you go, like, how low could Scheffler possibly get here before you start saying, okay, this is probably a little bit ridiculous. Like, what's the cutoff point right now with Scheffler?
Yeah, I think it's got a bottoming out point, guys, just because, you know, Tiger back in the day when he was plus 150, even money, maybe even chalk some of these tournaments, you know, his competition was much, much less than it is now. You know, the world of golf, when we get all these guys together, when the live guys come back and they all play in the same event, you look at these names, just it's so deep. You're seeing, you know, big names that are going to be 60, 70, 80-1 in these majors that normally wouldn't be, just because we're probably 30, 40 guys deep. So just more kind of, you know, when you see that, just more motivation, I think, to get the tours together with a deal eventually to get all these guys back together, just because the game of golf, just in terms of play, is better than it ever has been. It's so deep, so many good players, so much talent. So, you know, when that's the case and you still have a guy like Scottie who's 4-1 or so, if he keeps winning, it's probably going to get a little bit shorter and shorter. Maybe I have a really tough time seeing it maybe be below 3-1 in any golf tournament with some other good competition. You know, if he were to go down and play, like, you know, it's kind of funny to think about, guys. Like, if he was playing the Corrales Punta Cana this week, the all event, he'd probably be minus 200, minus 250. It'd be incredible. Yeah. Just if that were to happen, just to see what his odds would be in like an alt event. So obviously Scottie's not going anywhere for a while now.
Yeah, Scottie, right now, plus 450, the favorite at DraftKings. But then on the rest of the first page of the board, Rory and Xander Schauffele both at 12-1 at DraftKings. Ludwig Aubert, 14-1, very impressive last week on his major debut. Cantlay, 16-1, horse for course here. Tommy Fleetwood, Colin Morikawa, under 20-1 at 18-1. Matt, what's standing out to you down at the RBC Heritage in Harbortown?
Yeah, Wes, maybe you've talked about it this week. I haven't researched it, but I'd be willing to get that, willing to bet that there hasn't been a winner of the week after the Masters, the same player, in decades. That's just a guess. You know, I mean, maybe Tiger did it one of these years. But, you know, so I think Scott is going to be feeling a little bit of a hangover. He flew back to Dallas that night. He was having a good time. We got right back up the street, you know, a couple-hour flight away this week, a couple days later. Of course, Meredith is sitting there with the baby about to pop. So, you know, that could happen this week, and he could be out of there. So I'm definitely staying away from anything Scotty this week. I am not really, you know, we've talked all this. You know, we've been pumping up Scotty. I'm not that scared of him this week. I'm kind of, guys, I'm looking at more of the mid-range. I really can't pick out a favorite here this week. Nothing's standing out just in terms of guys maybe 30-1 or shorter. So I've kind of been looking in the mid-range here, and I think there's a lot of good prices, a lot of good opportunity, and this course really avails itself, I think, to some of these guys who hit a little bit shorter off the tee because you don't need that this course. There's a lot of dog legs. Half the field's going to be laying up with three woods on half the holes. So just we want to look at some good iron play. And, Wes, I'm hitting some guys this week like Denny McCarthy, who was just good a couple weeks ago, Cam Davis. He's kind of a, funnily enough, a short positional course player, even with his length. JT Poston has good history here. One of my guys I bet quite a bit is Christian Bezuidenhout, like him this week. JT, he's drifted out there this week. He had a bad performance and missed the cut in the Masters. Really, that was just four holes, but he was in good form leading up to that. So I like JT quite a bit here this week at above 50-1. Just rounded out a couple more names, Corey Connors, Keegan Bradley. So I'm kind of sticking in that 40 to 80 or so range this week, guys, and just roll the dice here and hope Scotty doesn't win a back-to-back.
That's a healthy card as well for Matt.
I will go back to 2010 here, what Matt was pointing out in terms of master success with RBC Heritage success. Now, this is a signature event, so these are better fields than typically what we've seen. But from 2010 to 2023, this is from my article at VSiN.com this week, only four players finished top five the week before at the Masters and then the following week at the RBC Heritage. So it's only happened four times. It's happened each of the last 2 years, though. So there's always one guy, Shane Lowry 2 years ago, Jordan Spieth last year. But I think Matt's right, even with this elevated field. You know, tough to duplicate that success 2 weeks in a row.
No question. I'm sure, Matt, you'll get a decent handle out of, obviously, Masters always the number one golf betting tournament here. You expect that to carry over here into the RBC just with a lot of the more casual bettors now kind of locked in, having just watched a lot of the action?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is a fun course. It's pretty to watch on TV. We've had a couple of playoffs the last years with some big names. You know, and just looking at this, if you were just to open up your odds this week, and all the big names are back with a signature event. So I think the tour did a good job with that to kind of keep the momentum going with a good field. The players don't love it so much, but hey, they're going to get a break next week during the Zurich instead.
I think that's probably fair to say. Matt Grill, trading manager at DraftKings, joining us right now from our Progressive Gas Line. Always great to catch up with you, Matt. Best of luck here on all the plays.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Absolutely. Has there been a back-to-back Masters RBC win?
I cannot recall.
You would know.
It would have had to been maybe 30 or 40 years ago.
Yeah, been a while.
Yes.
And maybe not ever. RBC Heritage starts tomorrow from Harbortown. You a fan of the jackets?
I do like the tartan jackets.
Tartans? Yeah.
I think it's tartan, I believe. The plaid jacket that they have at the lighthouse at Harbortown Golf Links.
When we come back, we do have a final in Chicago. We'll get you an opening line on the Bulls and the Sixers.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets.
Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. So you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not only today's action, but future events as well. So take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits right now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. A big thanks to Matt Grill, DraftKings trading manager, for joining us here on VSiN tonight. And we have some fresh odds, Wes. They're out right now after the Chicago Bulls behind a 42 from Kobe White, who will probably finish second in the voting for comeback player of the year. You could maybe argue he should be one spot higher over Tyrese Maxey.
Right.
He goes off. Bulls just blast Atlanta 131 to 116. The over goes over by 27 in the first half, over by 7 in the second half, obviously way over for the full game there as the Bulls cover as 3-point favorites. And odds are now out for the final play-in tournament game in the East. It is the Miami Heat, DraftKings first to market here. Miami Heat at home, 3-point home favorites, 209.5 your total, and there is more injury news on both teams, Wes, surrounding this game.
Yeah, we mentioned Jimmy Butler with the MCL injury, obviously waiting for an MRI. And we had talked about that, but now we have one on the Bulls side, and that is Chicago Bulls guard Alex Caruso with that what is quote-unquote a significant right foot sprain, and his availability against Miami on Friday is in doubt. I think Andre Drummond stepped on the foot tonight during the play-in. Caruso didn't play like the final 22 minutes of the game, so obviously arguably their best guard defensively, Alex Caruso, certainly a guy, you know, 3-and-D guy, if there ever was one. So his status at least is in somewhat some doubt tomorrow. So this number probably going to be in a little bit of a holding pattern here, I would think, with the two key injuries.
Yeah, you would think on that, considering it's not just one team, it's both that are impacted by this. We also now have opening prices too. I mentioned how the Sixers, that series price immediately set out as well. Sixers against the Knicks, minus 115 on the series price. Knicks minus 105. Slight dogs is the two seed. We do have game one lines now out as well on that, Wes, as the Sixers get the seven seed. Knicks are 3-point home favorites. They've gotten a little bit of early market support here. That will be a game played on Saturday from 2.5 at most spots right now, Wes, up to 3, total of 207.5 here. Looks like, as of now, that will be one of your lowest, looks like the second lowest total of the game one so far.
Yeah, lowest one that I am seeing is actually the first game on Saturday. And that is Orlando and Cleveland, 206.5. I'm half joking when I say this. Is that like the true TV series?
I think every game will be probably NBA TV.
Yes, yes.
Orlando got, what, one national TV game I think I saw?
And that's kind of a sad thing because they're actually a good, fun, young team. You know, and all these guys have, you know, gotten their heads kicked in over the last couple of years. They've gotten all these lottery picks, and finally they've come together. Paolo Banchero, Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, Cole Anthony off the bench. Jonathan Isaac, I think, is going to play a big role in this series. You know, he's kind of had some spot minutes off the bench, but I think he'll play a big role here. So right now, 4.5 for the Cavs, 206.5. I'm leaning dog here a little bit in the series, Ben. I have not bet this as of yet. Really haven't seen a lot of movement, maybe slight to the Cavs because you're starting to see some 170 out there, and I think 185 behind us here at Circa. But look, the Cavs, you know, packed it in that season finale against the Hornets, which weren't even the Hornets starters. Like, that was the Hornets backups. And the Cavs put in, like, you know, Tristan Thompson and Damian Jones and, you know, just went as deep as they could in their bench, and they gave up that lead. You know, Charlotte goes on a big run on Sunday and wins the game. So, you know, I guess Cleveland, look, they wanted to avoid, but it's like you could have won the division and been the two seed in the East. So I didn't really necessarily understand that, and I think that could end up backfiring on.
What does it say, too, if you look at this from the Orlando perspective? You watch what Cleveland did. They executed as blatant of a tank job to set themselves up in this matchup.
Yeah, it's like they basically called you out.
Yeah. You're an Orlando team. You know, sometimes the lack of playoff experience, at least early, I think, Wes, in these series, can play a benefit to you because you kind of come in, you know, with your hair on fire, playing with that reckless abandon, nothing to lose here. For the early series handicap, I do like Orlando, especially with having Jonathan Isaac healthy and back in the fold. You know, he can really disrupt things on the interior against Cleveland. I'm waiting. So Circa briefly flashed a 5 for like a millisecond on Monday. I missed it. I'd love to get a 5 here. I haven't bet this yet, Wes, but this will be the one of the Saturday slate of the game ones. This is my favorite side here. It's Orlando with the points. I don't know if you've seen any rogue 5s out there still. I'm seeing basically all 4.5.
Yeah,
I am going to be on the Magic.
I think that you may, and I'd probably be on that same side too. I just think J.B. Bickerstaff, look, hasn't found a way to play Evan Mobley and Jared Allen yet together. They get destroyed on the rebounding because of that. Magic team like the Knicks are really the kryptonite for the Cavs, and at least this year, not so much last year, but the Magic look a very big, very good offensive rebounding team. I do like the Magic in this series. I probably will end up betting that. I think that this is a team that's a little bit hungry, you know, to say, okay, you guys wanted to call us out. And plus the fact that Donovan Mitchell, the health, he's been kind of in and out of the lineup a little bit lately. So I don't know if he's necessarily 100% going into this series. And if he's not, I think the Cavs are very much in trouble. I'm not sure Darius Garland can necessarily carry that load all by his lonesome in the backcourt.
Cavs minus 195, series price, Magic plus 165. I guess since I'm not on the show rest of the week, Wes, I'll give that out. That'll be just, you know, a best bet we'll put on the show here with Magic plus 4.5. I'm going to hold out, try to get a 5. I think that might come up at some point. There's been a lot of early public interest on the Cavs.
Yeah, I would think so. Look, I am liking Orlando more and more in that series. I just think I didn't like what the Cavs did. And it's not just because I didn't like what they did. I just didn't think it made any sense. It's like, okay, you to win one series and then get Boston in the second round, where you'd much rather be in a wide open bottom there with Milwaukee dealing with injuries, with the Pacers team that's still very young, that you fared very well against. Let's say they were to upset them and the Cavs would get like the Sixers or it could have been the Heat in the seventh spot. Yeah, I think that draw at the bottom was a lot better for the Cavs than it is at the top.
Also, too, stylistically, if there's a word to describe Cleveland, isn't it like obtuse? They're
yes.
It's not a team that you really feel can beat you in multiple ways. And if you watch the final game 82 where the Bucks were trying to win to keep the 2 seed, even though they did not have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Orlando looked so much faster, so much crisper than the Bucks. Like, they were running circles around him. The one worry you'd have with Orlando, it's A, the youth, and then B, how Franz Wagner's three-point shooting is really taking a big step back this year. Only about a 28% three-point shooter. Teams are daring him to shoot threes. That would be my only concern if he gets too three-point happy and the shots aren't falling in a road environment on Saturday. But I love the makeup of this Magic team as young as they are.
Yeah, and look, they can hit it from the outside. They can score at the rim. They can score in the mid-range, even though those aren't the best shots necessarily. But they can do that. And look, I think Paolo Banchero maybe makes his postseason statement here in this first-round series.
The other game that line came out last night, Wes, and the other 2-7, not, I should say other 2-7, we're talking to Orlando-Cleveland here, 4-5, but on the other one of the play-in tournament games that were decided and has since now seen some movement on it. Lakers-Denver game 1. Denver, a healthy over $3 favorite in that series. Lakers about plus 250. And Denver here, Wes, getting the betting support from 6-point favorites on the open out to 7 here. This will be, we do have times now, by the way, for the Saturday game. This will be the fourth of 5 games on Saturday, 8:30 Eastern. Denver out to 7 at home against the Lakers, 223.5 your total. What do you make of that spot, game 1?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting here. You know, how the Lakers, because a lot of people are saying, oh, the Lakers ought to tank here, you know, but that's playing with fire as well. So they end up with Denver, which is probably the worst matchup for these guys. Look, I think that their guards could get roasted by the Denver guards, by Jamal Murray, even if Reeves and Russell can score. And then, you know, you're going to have to, if you play Vanderbilt and Vincent, then they're not going to score enough. they're going to be better defensively. So it's kind of like pick your poisons. Nuggets have won 8 straight against these guys for a reason. They don't have any answers for the Joker. So maybe the way I'm going to play this in terms of a series is -1.5 games. And I think that is about $1.40-ish right now is what I'm looking at instead of trying to predict the exact score or go like 4-2 or 4-1. Yeah.
-140 at DraftKings.
Yeah, because I think that they could win in 5 or 6. So that's what the way I would lay it is lay the 1.5 instead of going with the series score because I don't think they're going to sweep the team. I think the Lakers at least are going to get a game.
This will be a very it's not going to be easy. Taking out a LeBron and an AD-led team. It'll be a tight series,
but
I'm with you, Wes.
And LeBron down the stretch, I'll give him credit. Even though he's getting older, man, he was just a beast down the stretch, I think, for this team and kind of willed this team at least to a 8 spot when they were stuck in that 9-10 pretty much all year. But AD, you know, of course, always had some injury concerns, certainly had some on Sunday with the back spasm.
No question. When we come back, we'll transition a little bit, get Wes's breakdown of the RBC Heritage. I'll have best bets for Matt Youmans as well in the tournament when we come back to VSiN Tonight.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back. It is VSiN Tonight here from downtown Las Vegas in our Circus Sportsbook studios. Big thanks to our producer, Dan Miller, behind the glass as we get set to talk a little bit of golf from off the Masters and Augusta National. We go to Harbortown. It's the RBC Heritage. Be sure to check out a fresh episode of the Long Shots podcast. Wes Reynolds, we're about to get into this tournament with, as well as Kelly Bidlin and Matt Brown breaking down the RBC Heritage, as well as Wes's Around the World segments, going to the Corrales Punta Cana and the LPGA, big major of the year, Chevron Championship coming up this week as well. Wes, as you started to dive in here, you know, we've talked so much here the last 2 days just about how different a course this is compared to Augusta now going to Harbortown and the RBC, but the reality is it's an elevated event field here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a lot of really good golfers. I would imagine that maybe that's the one storyline that you could see get a bit overblown going from Augusta to Harbortown where it is two different courses. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you've got every eligible player. And by that, there's a couple obviously on LIV who are not playing in this. But every eligible player inside the official world golf ranking top 30 except for Hideki Matsuyama and Victor Hovland going to be in attendance this week. So, you know, $20 million purse, signature event. The last three winners of the event did participate in the Masters the week before, Fitzpatrick, Spieth, and Stewart Cink. So, you know, majority of these guys at least played at Augusta last week. Pete Dye Design here at Harbortown Golf Links, par 71, 72, 13 on the yardage. So a lot different than what we saw at Augusta where the fairways are a little bit wider. Not that these are the narrowest fairways, but it's still less than tour average, 33.5 yards on average width. Very tiny greens, too. 3,700 greens, 3,700 square feet. Second smallest on the PGA Tour, about average on the stamp, 11.5. So, you know, water does come into play on 9 holes. You got to hit your approaches, I think, very well here because, and Stephen Hennessy, I think, had the right term from Golf Digest earlier in our program where he said less than driver courses because that's exactly what this is. You're going to be taking a lot of 3-wood. You're going to be taking a lot of hybrid, some irons off the tee. So, not a very particularly long course, so I don't think length really mattered as much. So, like, when I went into, okay, what stats do I want to model or really emphasize this week, I did approach, obviously, because the greens and regulation rate is, like, 5% lower than the PGA Tour average. Very difficult to gain on approach here. Proximity, 150 to 175, 175 to 200. That's where about half the approach shots are going to come from. Good drives gain, which I think is a better measure of off-the-tee success here because that's not distance bias nor accuracy bias. So went with that. Strokes gain in terms of less than driver courses, so less than 7,200 yards, which this is right around. Did a little bit of scrambling because, you know, I think that you are going to have to scramble a little bit here. The greens are small and very easy to miss. And, you know, that's pretty much for the most part what I did in terms of stat modeling this week.
Makes sense. And it also, you kind of go into the feel, too, of the which guys do you have an inkling of coming off Augusta are in a good position here. I'd imagine the fact this is an elevated event, I would certainly think, Wes, helps with the whole idea of the potential hangover because there is a lot at stake here, even though we're just a week removed from the first major.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I didn't want to necessarily discount guys that played well at Augusta, and I didn't necessarily. There are a couple guys that actually finished top 10 that I went with this week, because usually I like to go, and I did go down the board with some of these guys, but in terms of the trends, I don't want to put too much into the trends, Ben, because this is usually a good field, but not an elite field like it is this week, being a signature event. So, you know, you've seen, like, you know, some Masters hangover in previous years with this event. I mentioned only four players that were top five the week before the Masters that then also did it the following week at the RBC, and that's going back to 2010 for that to happen. But we have seen it at least each of the last couple of years just because the fields have been better, and I think we'll probably see at least one of those guys in the top five.
Yeah, I would say of all those, you know, I certainly got sucked in. Max Homa was my pick to win the Masters last year. Really didn't do much of anything, even though he made the cut. Mm-hmm. I was certainly in on him, you know, really believing that the form was back, all the positive work he's done mentally in his game was going to pay off. And then really just, you know, one tee shot that was off by 2 yards of his mark kills him on Sunday. Of those guys, that would be my pick. Now, he's -110 to finish top 20, which is, you know, at DraftKings to me a very fair price, but that'd be the one guy I do believe in. Our guest earlier, Stephen Hennessy, has him as an outright at 28-1, but I do expect Homa, the way his mental makeup has been so solid, I do like him to bounce back from that. Really, just one bad swing and then a kind of a feeble attempt not going for the green in 2 on 13 that really cost him the tournament, but I do like him to bounce
back.
On
the same side, I've seen a lot of people like Ludwig Gobert this week because this has some similarities to Sea Island, the seaside course, of course, where he won the RSM to end the year. Granted, that was a much lesser field than certainly this week. And look, I like Ludwig Gobert, and I've been a big believer of him. I bet him when he first got on the tour last summer, when he wasn't officially on the tour, when he had just graduated from Texas Tech. But now you're just not getting those prices.
14-1.
Yeah, I mean, he's priced like he's about a 7-time winner on the PGA Tour, which I think Max Homa actually is. So I did take a pass on him. But where I started on my card, Ben, I started with Patrick Cantlay at 18-1. And look, he has not played great. He was the 54-hole leader at Riviera and then just did nothing on Sunday and got passed by Matsuyama. Disappointing Sunday in round of 76. But look, four top threes last six appearances here. So he's a guy always on Pete Dye's. If you ever look at like strokes gained total Pete Dye's, he's always up there near the top. So Patrick Cantlay, 18-1. Did a little Tommy Fleetwood, even though it's kind of a short number. He finished third last week, but he was never really in the mix. He just kind of progressively got better each round. So I went with him at 22-1, 15th and 10th here the last 2 years. I'm back on Cameron Young, and look, I get hurt a lot betting on this guy because he gets close and then just can't get over the finish line. Hasn't won yet on the PGA Tour, but even though he's a longer hitter, I think that this course actually suits his game. He gained in all facets last week, so off the tee approach on the green as well. So 28-1. And then Tom Kim at 50-1, who was 30th at the Masters last week, but shot the low round of the day on Sunday with the 6-under-66. That was 2 better than anybody. So sometimes when you get that last round where you shoot really well, you carry that positive momentum over into the next week. I hope the wind blows because he's actually a very good wind player, as shown by the fact he was in the mix at the Open last year, which Brian Harman eventually won, and then a couple top tens in the Scottish Open. So could be comfortable. And then one that Matt Grill mentioned that I do want to also give a shout because he's on my card, Christian Vezdenhout at 66-1, who was not in the Masters field last week, the only one on my card that wasn't. Really good on the short layouts where the iron play, I think, can flourish. If you look, he's always played well at the Sony, at Pebble Beach, at Colonial, 13th at the Players earlier this year. So I think he could go well here. He's made the cut on all 3 appearances. And then right around the same price range, Sepp Straka, 66-1, 16th last week at the Masters, 8th tee to green, top 11 off the tee and on approach. And then Taylor Moore at 70-1, Mr. Consistency. He's made 10 straight cuts, 15 in a row on this season, then 15 in a row dating back last year in the Open Championship. 11th on debut here last year. Very consistent. Runner-up 3 weeks ago in Houston that we hit on Stefan Jaeger that week. So hopefully get another one this week, and that's my outright card. And
outright. Then, I can jump in with Matt Eumanns' couple plays,
and then
we can get to the rest of your bets. You can take a breath here. Wes, Matt Eumanns, only two plays for Matt. He is going on the derivative board here, but a popular name as far as bounce back guys here, maybe a little bit under the radar. Matt going with the lefty Brian Harman. to finish in the top 10. And you're buying on the dip here, Wes. You get a really juicy price, 4-1 on Harmon, top 10. Patrick Cantlay, he is also on, but to finish top 5 at plus 330. So maybe thinking Cantlay could be right in the mix here, but just not trusting his ability to close.
I ended up playing Cantlay top 10 too. I played Brian Harmon top 20, so I'll go over my placements real quick. The top 10s were Cantlay 175, Xander Schauffele plus 120. The T20s, Matt Fitz, minus 110. Tommy Fleetwood, you got to lay a little bit of a price at top 20. I think I laid like 137 was the exact price. And then Cam Young, plus 105. Brian Harman, I mentioned, plus 150. The T30, so far, Emiliano Grillo, another good ball striker at plus 150. So, you know, I'll see if I might add one or two overnight. I always try to take a look before they tee off. And then The four tournament matchups I played Cantlay over McIlroy, who I mentioned earlier, plus 105. Sahith Theegala, minus 130 over Sam Burns. Sam Burns, by the way, is another guy that's a withdrawal danger. Everybody's talking about Scottie Scheffler, but they're not talking about his best buddy Sam Burns and his Ryder Cup partner. Seriously. It's like these guys do everything together, man.
Yeah.
They pair in the President's Cup and in the Ryder Cup. They have babies at the same time. They do everything together. So, but I like Theegala, minus 130 over him. I did take Wyndham Clark, actually, plus 110 over Max Homa in a matchup. And then Justin Thomas, minus 110 over Tony Finau. JT, of course, now has Matt Minster on the bag, who is Patrick Cantlay's longtime bag man.
Yeah.
So Patrick Cantlay, he's done everything but win here. So he's had success here. So maybe JT is going to be a little bit of a sleeper to play well here. He's drifted all the way up to 40-1.
And reading your article, Wes, I mean, he pops on a lot of the categories that are beneficial this week.
Yeah, and that's what surprised me, that he made that switch from Bones McKay right before the Masters. I was like, because he's not that far off. Because JT, watching last year, he was far off.
Absolutely.
Like, he was missing cuts badly by like 10 shots in majors.
I will go with the Max Homa route. That's my one play for this week. Light for me, but Max Homa top 20 at minus 110. I will play that one. Let's go.
I see that happening.
Let's go. All right. When we come back, time to go through some MLB. We haven't talked baseball yet, but we'll do it next.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the playoff action in the NBA at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That is code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. It was a getaway day today, Wes, for a lot of Major League Baseball teams. You called it last night. This is one of those situational angles. A lot of unders today. I mean, who had Michael King in their bingo card taking a no-hitter into the seventh inning for San Diego?
You know, that's a damn shame that he did. I mean, not for you, being a Brewers fan. But the fact that, you know, he goes into the eighth inning, he strikes out 10, only, and you know, has
a great outing,
And Michael King gets a loss today. Padres, just not a lot of support. Brewers, not really either. One run on three hits, but that was enough for them to get the victory and avoid the sweep at the hands of the
Padres. Yes, it was. Of the NL games today, Wes, 4-2 to the under on those getaway day games today. I believe it was more of a mixed bag in the AL side today. Let's see, 3-4 there to the under. So it wasn't like a rock solid thing here as far as the interleague games. And then there was an extra game. There was a doubleheader. The rest of those games did go 3-1 to the under. So overall, good day if you were just blindly backing unders, thinking this was getaway day. But some really good pitching matchups.
Yeah, you like them when they're quick games too. I think the Red Sox game, which was the last game on the docket today, 2-0. By the way, Red Sox won over the Guardians. Complete game shutout and only allows three hits, 9 strikeouts. By the way, that game lasted an hour 49.
Ooh.
That's the shortest game at Fenway Park I think I saw since like 1975.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You don't really see those because that's a hitter's park.
And that is a hitter's park.
Red Sox games are like really, really long.
Tanner Houck, Missouri Tiger. Tanner Houck.
Complete game. Very, very good outing today. Not a ton of run support, but got enough for sure.
Beats Ben Lively. 2-0. I was a loser today on Arizona as the Cubs beat the D-backs 5-3, and some of these scufflers continue really to struggle as well, Wes. Although we did see a couple teams bounce back here today. Although the Pirates seem to be a team that continues to fall. They get swept by the Mets. Luis Severino, they shut out the Pirates today 9-1, and here come the Mets, who have rebounded after that terrible start.
But the Braves not giving up much ground. How about the Astros? They lose again. 5-4, give it up in the 10th inning in extra. So 6-14, the Houston Astros.
Yikes.
But they're about to get reinforcements. I think Verlander, I believe, returns on Friday. And then they're going to get Framber Valdez back. Urquidy is still in bullpen sessions. So they need some help in that pitching staff, though, because some these guys that are having to start these, you know, be like one or two starters or like your four or five guys like JP France or Ronel Blanco, who certainly has been terrific to start the year, but I think maybe pitching a little bit above his head
just
so far.
Just a touch. I think 118 batting average on balls in play.
So he's been fortunate. And look, they've needed some fortune because they're not getting much of it. 6-14.
Oh, I'm in a Dynasty Fantasy Baseball League. I got offered in a trade today Ronel Blanco for Francisco Lindor straight up. Now, Lindor's been bad to start the year, but I'm looking and I'm like, okay.
Boy, they're making you buy at the top of the market.
I'm like my buddy Jackson. I've known him since college. I'm like, do you think I'm just like blind to this stuff? Am I just an idiot? Like, come on! He's trying to get one over me there.
Right.
Now, look, I like Blanco long term, but yeah, I mean, Lindor started to heat up as well, just like the Mets. It was a 1-for-30 start for Lindor.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly great, but yeah, that kind of tells you where people are at. Maybe trying to sell high.
Exactly, and I think they probably should. Blanco is more positioned to be like a 4-starter or 5-starter in your rotation.
The Blue Jay Yankee game was the other big game today, where Eric Swanson blows a save late. The Yankees had some heroics. They score 5 unanswered. We're down in that game, Wes, 4-1 going to the top of the 8th, 4-2 going to the 9th. One Soto goes yard, so does Giancarlo Stanton, and a big comeback there for the Yankees, who were able to salvage a game in that series after dropping the first two to Toronto.
Aaron Judge, a 2-out, 2-run single, gives them the win. And look, Aaron Judge has been off to a little bit of a slow start, but I think, you know, the help is coming, though, in terms of Juan Soto, based on what he is doing. He's just murdering the ball right now. So eventually it's like, okay, you know, you maybe Judge is the protection for Juan Soto at some point. But Yankees do get the win. Clay Holmes gets another save. So good end of the series, at least for the Pinstripes, even though they lose 2-3.
As much as we talk about maybe buying high, or buying low, selling high, I should say, in the market, it's so early. There's some guys maybe who could regress. The Tarik Skubal watch today, who's been as hot as anybody, moved to the second favorite West in the AL Cy Young market. Was good, not amazing today. He got into some trouble against the Rangers in the 6th, and that's what really fell apart for Detroit. They lose 5-4 to Texas. Skubal, 6 1/3, only gives up 2 earned runs, as there was it was just a mess of a defensive day for Detroit. 3 errors in that game. Skubal, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. So not bad, Certainly, that won't hurt his candidacy, but maybe not as sharp as he was earlier.
That's one of the few four-game series, by the way, because we have a very small card on Thursday.
We do, not much.
With we have Texas-Detroit. We have Leiter against Kenta Maeda. Pretty much evenly split here. Minus 110 on the Tigers, 8.5. Slightly juiced to the under. Would certainly lean that way.
Only
lean under with Texas and Detroit.
We've what, five games on the card for Thursday?
We don't have much. I believe LA and Tampa continuous series. By the way, the Angels do get the win. First five goes under. Full game does not go under. The Angels do get the win against Tampa tonight, 5-4. Fairbanks, very bad in the ninth inning.
Another Missouri Tiger.
Yeah. Very, very tough
inning. I'm friends with his wife, actually.
Yeah.
He was a former Mizzou volleyball player.
Yeah. Very, very tough for him.
He's having a tough start.
Yeah, and Ray's got to figure out that bullpen at some point. Maybe it's just Fairbanks pitching a little bit better. Did not tonight.
Can't blame the humidor when you're at the Trop.
No, as the Angels do come back 5-4. By the way, Trout went yard again with a home run in the first.
For these are not out yet for the strikeout props, but I am looking to back Ryan Pepiot in the final game. He is the starter up against Griffin Canning of the Angels. That's about, looking at my odds screen here, Wes, about Ray's minus 150, but Pepiot is a guy certainly who the advanced underlying numbers point to him having a lot more success than he has had so far. An ERA north of 5, but walks, hits per inning pitched of right around 1, and he is inducing a lot of swing and misses. He's averaging over 10 Ks per 9. Angels are a swing-happy team against righties this year. They are in the top 10 in strikeout percentage, and they really don't have any lefty bats. They've had the fewest plate appearances by left-handed hitters of any team in the majors. Just not a very balanced lineup as much as you have the power of a Trout in that lineup, but I do like Pepiot, who is the piece coming back to the Rays in that Tyler Glasnow trade from the Dodgers. He's been a bit spotty up and down, struggled in his first start, but since then, one walk to 17 Ks in the two starts since. So I like Pepiot. We'll target him individually. I just can't trust the Rays full game with how bad the bullpen has been. Worst bullpen ERA in the
major. Yeah, look, I'd be with you here, Ryan Pepiot from Westfield, Indiana, Butler Bulldog. So I thought that was... Because everybody's like, okay, you're giving up Glasnow. They got a pretty good return, and I think it was a little bit understated because of Pepiot. I would be leaning that way, maybe the over-outs or the over-strikeouts in that one. And the finale seeing, there in the Trop.
Yeah, I am seeing it. DraftKings, he's set at 6.5 on the K's prop. It's not hasn't been posted, at least that
I'm guessing all. What's the recorded outs, like 17.5?
16.5,
okay.
I'm seeing here.
Okay.
And juice is evenly shaded on both sides.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
It does sound right. I do like the strikeouts. I will be shopping around once those pop here in our Las Vegas market. I'll see if we have this before the end of the show. We'll give it out as an official play. But I do like Pepiot on the K's. It's always up and down in the baseball early. I had a very good stretch early. Last week or so, it's just been like, blah.
Yeah. But usually now is maybe probably about next week is where I'll get to like more sides and totals.
Yeah.
Because I do props all year, but I go like a little more prop heavy early just because I want to see some of these guys, you know, three times through the rotation. Then I get some numbers. Then I can look really at that xFIP versus ERA. Then I can look at all the batting average balls in play. Because once you have at least a handful of games, you know, when you have 2-3 games, that's really hard. But when you have like 5 starts, then it's like maybe you can get a barometer of how these guys are truly pitching.
No question. I think one guy, you know, and it's the price that's a little bit heavy for my liking. Now, I just backed the Diamondbacks today and they lost. I'm not super tempted to fade them though tomorrow because they turn right around and take on Logan Webb. That's a guy you don't need a ton of data, at least early in the year, to know he's going to give you a solid outing basically every time out. Outside of getting pounded by the Dodgers on the road, Webb's been really good so far, Wes, but he's laying $1.70 here. And it seems like the market is very, very sleepy and soft on Arizona with their early struggles.
Yeah, one of the things, and I would expect Webb's going to go a little bit deeper into the game. Yeah. The changeup has been better. The slider's been better. Diamondbacks a little short in the bullpen. Joe Mantiply, who's their best reliever, has gone 4 times in 6 days, so probably not available for the Snakes tomorrow.
A lot of Kevin Ginkle.
Yes.
So far.
Yes.
A lot of Kevin, who I like, but a lot of it. That's our baseball talk. When we come back, final hour of the show, we'll talk our NFL draft early thoughts next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.